Every day, companies you've probably never heard of are making billions off your personal data. Name, address, phone number, even details about your family. All being pulled from public records and the internet, and then sold without your consent. There's an entire marketplace making money off your privacy, and most people have no idea it exists. Aura fights back. They remove your personal data from broker sites and keep it off. Plus, they alert you fast if your information shows up in a breach or on the dark web. But Aura is more than just a data broker removal tool. It's a full digital security suite. VPN, antivirus, password manager, spam call protection, and dark web monitoring for your social security number, bank logins, and passwords. And if your identity is ever stolen, you're backed by up to $5 million in insurance and 24/7 U.S.-based fraud support. Other services charge the same, but only cover one or maybe two areas. With Aura, you get all of it in one simple app. Right now, you can try Aura for free for 14 days when you visit aura.com/remove. That's enough time for Aura to start removing your personal information from data broker sites. Sign up today at aura.com/remove and get the peace of mind that your privacy, identity, and finances are safeguarded. That's aura.com/remove. Certain terms apply. Check website for more details. Have you heard of Goldbelly? It's an amazing site where you can get the most iconic, famous foods from restaurants all across the U.S. And it's perfect for game day, Valentine's Day, big parties, events, you name it. Goldbelly will ship you iconic Chicago deep dish pizza from Lou Malnati's, the original Buffalo Wings from Anchor Bar in Buffalo, Guy Fieri's unbelievable trash can nachos, real Philly cheesesteaks, or even the legendary Franklin's barbecue straight from Texas right to your door. And with Valentine's Day coming up, they've got great gifts like award-winning dinners from Peter Luger Steakhouse, world-famous macaroons from La Durie, and even the exact cake served at JFK's wedding to Jackie O. I can't wait to order some Lou Malnati's. Getting authentic Chicago deep dish shipped right to my door? Incredible. So whether you're looking to turn game day into an unforgettable experience with friends or want to impress the loved one on Valentine's Day, go to goldbelly.com and get 20% off your first order with promo code ZABE. That's goldbelly.com, code ZABE, Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo for 20% off your first order. We might be in the final quarter of the football season, but that doesn't mean winning season is over. Oh no. With MyBookie and its cash out system, you are in control of how you bet and how you win for the rest of the season. Season win totals, parlays, points totals. If you're on the right side, you can get out while the getting is good. Cash out. Use the funds on other bets, or just let it ride for the chance at a bigger payday. Any way you slice it, you are in control. To get started, go to mybookie.ag now. That's mybookie.ag. Register for an account for free. When you're ready, make your first deposit, and remember to use promo code ZABE. That's Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo, and grab a welcome bonus on the house. That's promo code ZABE to claim your deposit bonus. The season is running out, but winning season has just begun. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere at mybookie.ag. This is the ZabeCast, from the mean streets of McLean, Virginia, to the Harvard of the West, UC Santa Barbara. You got 30 minutes for some honest conversation about sports, life, and more? Well, good. Buckle up and let's go. Tuesday, January 6, 2026. Thank you for joining me. Double shot of guests today. We got my boy Eric Gitter on the Packers front against the Bears for the postseason, and my boy Spence down in Jacksonville to talk about the Jags and the Bills, plus a bunch of other stuff. And it's been a busy Black Monday so far. Not just last night, as there was a double shot of Radio Raheem Morris along with Terry Fontenot getting the pow-pow, you're fired. But today, Kevin Stefanski of the Browns.
Liar.
Today, Pete Carroll of the Raiders.
Liar.
And also today, it was Jonathan Gannon.
Liar.
The Jets are going to hold on to Aaron Glenn. And this is one of the more amazing things ever, given all of the worthy statistical reasons to say to him.
You're fired.
They're not going to. And it's crazy to think that Raheem Morris had turned things around. They had gone, you know, finished four straight wins and had played spoiler in week 18, and they fire him down in Atlanta, and yet you have the Jets literally limping home to port as a utterly non-functional franchise, and they're not going to fire him. I believe that this is the first time in my lifetime that I've seen in the modern NFL in which an NFL team essentially has quit, has given up on the whole process of, well, we should fire this guy. He's clearly terrible. But if we fire him, we're going to have to then go through the process all over again. And we just did this. And you got to schedule interviews, and you got to fly candidates in, and then there's people reporting on who's possibly the guy, and we have to negotiate with the head coaches that would be the prospective head coaches, how much control they're going to have. Are they going to be the GM, not the GM, partially the GM? Ah, God. And deep down, I think Woody Johnson and the Jets organization realizes they're no good at any of this. They will just fuck it up. So their best course of action is to simply close their eyes, stick their fingers in their ears and go, la, 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 la. Last year didn't happen. And wake up and go, okay, are we going to be better this year? They're going to have the second pick in the draft. I believe it is. Let me go to tankathon.com to confirm that. I want to apologize for being so utterly sloppy last week about scenarios and what seeds could be where. And I think I botched how I explained the Giants situation playing at home against the Cowboys versus the Raiders possibly winning. The Giants could never take back the number one spot, but they did fuck themselves with the win. And many Giant fans are quite unhappy about that. I do find it hilarious that there's this whole sub-argument about, I don't know what you're talking about, winning meaningless games. They're not meaningless. They're important for the culture, for the organization to win when it doesn't, quote, matter. Every spot you knock yourself down in the top of the draft, in the top 10 picks, hurts. In fact, the value chart, I believe Grant Paulson, my boy from JFK, who's a big tank if you can, and then trade down if somebody's willing guy, he looked it up that the difference between the 5 pick and the 7 pick, which is what the Commanders cost themselves with the win, that's worth like 300 points on the Jimmy Johnson value chart of picks. And because it's only two spots, but because it's so high up in the draft, that it's equivalent to a 76th overall pick, or in other words, a mid-third rounder. That's not insignificant. To what? For why? Because you can say, hey, at least we won the last game of the year. And no matter what you say, well, what are you supposed to do? Tell the players to not try? No, you don't have to tell the players to not try. You play guys who are on the far fringes of your roster. I mean, you empty the bottom of the depth chart. Yes, Sam Howell, practice squatter. You bring him up and you play him. Hell, he might look half decent. Probably not, because they're afraid to play him. But yes, that's how you tank in the NFL. It's stupid to win these games late. It's really stupid to win them late in back-to-back years, which the Giants have now done in back-to-back years. So here we go. NFL Tankathon. Let's get it. Vegas 1, Jets 2, Cardinals 3, Titans, Giants 4-5, Cleveland 6, Washington 7. I don't know why it's even an argument. Of course, you should try to lose these games at the end of the year when you're out of it, but lose it in an artful, respectful way, which is just play the shitty quarterbacks. You play the shittiest quarterback you got under the guise of, we want to see what he's got. That is the way to do it. Probably like the Dolphins did with Quinn Ewers. Probably why they bypassed Zach Wilson. They knew Zach Wilson has made starts in this league, has won games, so they figure, all right, let's make him an excuse to not play him to lose games. Dolphins, though, only going to finish 11th. They're 11th in the tankathon order for the upcoming draft. Anyhow, back to what I was saying, and what was I talking about here regarding the final? I apologize because I was very sloppy as to explaining just who was going to get what and where and blah, blah, blah. I guess because the dust has settled at 6 o'clock on a Monday that there will be no further firings of coaches. It was announced that Joe Shane, the idiot who traded away Saquon Barkley, didn't trade away, but lowball offered him and will let him walk out in free agency, that Joe Shane for the Giants, he's staying. And Jimmy Haslam in Cleveland, who got rid of Stefanski. Stefanski's going to be hired by somebody in quick. That he's keeping Andrew Berry as his GM, which many Browns fans are also apoplectic about because Andrew Berry has basically sucked. The guy in Indianapolis has also, Ballard, has also been retained as GM. Did see the press conference with the three daughters of Jim Irsay. Jim Irsay, John Irsay, Joe Irsay. Jim Irsay. Bob the dad, Jim the son. The daughters now control the team with Carly as the front daughter, who's the most visible on the sidelines. And it was just surreal watching three daughters up there talking about what they were going to do, how they need to figure things out, saying that Shane Steichen understands there's things that need to be fixed and blah, blah, blah. By the way, Riley Leonard looked pretty darn good, and people are saying, you know, if we had played Riley Leonard at least down the stretch here instead of this Phillip Rivers thing, who knows how he would have looked. He had a knee injury that they didn't think he'd be ready for the first Phillip Rivers game, but then after that, he could have absolutely played. And this is my point. This is what I said last week. And some of you wanted to clap me, going, oh, who are they going to get that's any better? I think I was telling Andy this about why didn't they call RG3? I know I'm saying RG3 would have been better, but Riley Leonard looked like he could actually do some things out there. Riley Leonard lost the game, however. And did you know that this now makes it, try to find the number here. I just liked this on my Twitter feed. It is the now 25th consecutive loss for a Notre Dame quarterback in the last 14 seasons in the NFL. The drought lives. 13 years, 33 days, and counting since Brady Quinn, the last Notre Dame quarterback to win an NFL game. That's something right there. So the Jets have quit. They know they are not good at any of this, and they're just not going to try. And in a sort of weird way, I almost respect and understand it. You're not good at any of this. So maybe just don't try. Let the stink settle on this. One thing, though, I would like to point out and emphasize, there's a lot of, what do you want to call it, retrofitting of the Rodgers narrative about how rudely Aaron Glenn treated him on the way out the door, making him get on a plane, fly all the way to the Jets, to then sit him down and go, yeah, we're moving on from you. And Rodgers was peeved about that on McAfee. Just remember, Rodgers, if you believe his side of things, since he was angry about that, that he wanted to be back with the Jets. And he was kind of insulted as if to say, you don't think I can still play? You think I'm the problem? If he really wanted to stay with the Jets, that shows on his judgment poorly, as badly as Glenn might have botched the we're letting you go thing. I don't give a shit about them calling him back for a face-to-face meeting. Rodgers is going to spin it negatively no matter what. And, you know, maybe if Rodgers lived where the team was instead of out there in Malibu, wouldn't have been such a bad flight. And if he had done it over the phone, Aaron Glenn, he would have gone on McAfee, Rodgers, and said, I can't believe he cut me over the phone. How dare he? So Rodgers survives to live another day, at least for one more game. I wouldn't say their chances against the Texans are good. This Texans defense is way nastier than what the Ravens threw out there. The Ravens had so little pass rush, so non-existent of a pass rush, that Rodgers was clean and comfortable almost the entire night and was able to just dink and dunk and pick apart the Ravens defense. That's not going to be the case with the Houston Texans. Not even close. So the last time that Rodgers faced a DeMeco Ryans defense was on an absurdly cold night in Green Bay, Wisconsin, with the Niners when DeMeco Ryans was a D coordinator. And it was a 13-10 game, 4 degrees, light snow, fourth quarter, double thump, Helona Tofanga. I nearly died. Not a good time. 0 of 10 stars, would not recommend. Rodgers has got his work cut out for him in this first wild card game on Monday night. Back to Rodgers. So after the game, Melissa Stark got with Aaron Rodgers on network TV. Here's how the interview went down.
It's pretty emotional, honestly. It's been a great year. So I'm thankful for these guys and excited to be going to the playoffs for the first time in a long while.
Does that mean you're riding off into the sunset after this?
No, it's been a grinding year. Yeah. And 2 years before that were tough as well. So it's been an absolute blessing to be here. With these fans and this organization and Mike T and the leadership that we got with these guys. And, you know, I think we found that little bit, that something special, which is belief tonight on the offensive side. And I'm proud of our guys, the way we responded in the fourth quarter.
Okay. Here, listen to this.
Had to ask it. Cam, come on.
I just had to ask it, she says at the end.
In the fourth quarter.
Had to ask it. Cam, come on.
I have so many problems with this. Number one, Melissa Stark had all week. She's paid full-time and quite nicely, probably close to $1 million, all week for a very limited role in the broadcast. So she had plenty of time to do her research, do her prep, think about how she was going to ask certain questions, whether it's of, you know, Rodgers and Tomlin, or whether it's of Lamar and Harbaugh, or whomever. And she had all game watching it unfold with an idea of, here's how I'm going to come at it. Where did she get the idea that she had to try to hit the home run of getting Rodgers to announce his plans for next season right then and there in the basking glow of their miracle victory, thanks to Tyler Loop's Vanderjacked kick? Who says? Like, it was so awkward. Here, listen to his tone, Rodgers, and watch his face.
Going to the playoffs for the first time in a long while.
Does that mean you're riding off into the sunset after this?
No, it's been a...
You can just feel the temperature dip in the room. No. What?
You're riding off into the sunset after this?
No, it's been a grinding year. Yeah. And 2 years before that were tough as well. So it's been an absolute blessing to be here with these fans and this organization and Mike T and the leadership that we got with these guys. And, you know, I think we found that little bit, that something special, which is belief tonight on the offensive side. And I'm proud of our guys, the way we responded in the fourth quarter.
Had to ask it. Cam, come.
Yeah. I hate the fact she also felt the need after that longer explanation to then say, I had to ask it. She's right there begging for forgiveness from probably a little bit of a pissed off Aaron Rodgers because she wants to stay in the nice guys club. She doesn't want to be branded as, oh my God, she's one of those. Just a dumb question, poorly asked. You were never going to get him to say what you wanted him to say. Yep, this is it. We'll ride this as long as we can, and then I'm off to some yurt and my ayahuasca. He's not going to say that. So stop trying. Stop trying to hit a grand slam on one swing of the bat, which you were never going to get. And I otherwise like Melissa Stark, but this is what turns a lot of people off when it comes to sideline reporters. It's a great gig, really helps to be an attractive woman. They don't hire fat or middle-aged or ugly-looking men. Even if you're of the right minority stripe, it's really a job for attractive women. And Melissa Stark left the game and went to have some kids and raise a family, and now she's back doing it. But they're generally speaking, sideline reporters in these interviews, they're not good. One last thing before we get to my guy Getter and talk some Packers Bears Saturday night on Amazon Prime. I felt there was some super shady shit refereeing-wise in the Steeler Ravens game. Somebody had tweeted out, uh-oh, the fix is in. They've sent Sean Smith to referee the game. And Sean Smith's home team ATS number against the spread number was somewhere close to 80%. A very good referee to be betting home teams against the spread. Now, what was the spread in that game? It was, I think it was 1.5. I'm trying to remember whose 1.5 it was. It was 1.5 on the Steelers. Not on this sheet here. Either way, Sean Smith, I don't know if he's considered a good ref or not, but I know this. The very tone was set. If you are a Baltimore fan who felt like the league had their thumb on the scale, remember, these games aren't fixed or rigged. There are no meetings nor memos, but they are sometimes thumb on scale to make it harder for one team to win or make it easier for another team to lose. And the shady stuff started early. The big run by Derrick Henry that got 15 yards clawed back on the fake crackback block that Terry McCauley said flatly, no, that's not a penalty. And then he explained it chapter and verse by the rule why it's not a penalty. That's not a good start to the game. Kyle Hamilton got his first ever DPI all year in the end zone. It was on that last play before the last play of the first half. He did kind of grab, I forget who it was, the tight end he was grabbing, but it just, you know, Tirico mentioning it's his first DPI all year. Okay. There was a very light holding penalty that wiped out a big Lamar Jackson run. There was another holding penalty on the Ravens lineman who got bent over backwards in what was one of the most painful looking crumple-ups I've seen in a long time. I didn't quite understand that. There was a seeming offside by Pittsburgh that was called a false start against the Ravens. The Ravens start reacting as if to say, what do you mean, false start? They were offsides. And that did not go in their way. Then, of course, you had the Ronnie Staley formation penalty that wiped out a first down on the final drive. Was it the right call? I guess, technically. Are NFL officials instructed to call it that tight, that specifically, when the games are actually on the line? And you could probably call that or some variant of that at almost any time. I don't know, but it was pretty damn impactful. And then, of course, what came out on the game-missing kick was the Steelers lineman who hurdled the line and appeared to put his hands down on top of the players beneath him, which is called leverage, and it is a penalty. Now, his initial jump, his hands were not on the defensive lineman as they were bent over, but at some point he put his hands down to brace himself. The Ravens also did something that few people have really seen before on film. They brought in their wing protector, and they motioned him back up the middle to block the leaper, which I guess is something they must have seen on film from Pittsburgh, and they wanted to make sure to have extra bodies for. Could they have called that? Yes, they could have. Can you imagine, though, the bedlam that ensued from poor Tyler Loop's shank ball? And then, wait, there's a flag on the field, and then everyone has to settle down, they give him the 5 yards, and he makes it the second time. Just how angry and how much of a dull finish it would have looked like on TV for the road team to win in that fashion. Again, I'm not saying these things are rigged. I'm just saying sometimes the thumb beyond the scale. Was it on Sunday night? I can't say conclusively. I don't think the Ravens got a very good whistle. They were hit with 9 accepted penalties for 78 yards. Their average on the year is 5.5. So I guess you do the math. Quick break. When we come back on the Zabecast, let's talk Packers and Bears. My guy Gitter is joining me and Wolfie by phone tonight. Brian Wolf, one of the biggest let's go to the game Packer buddies I know, has already said no chance. He wants no part of going to Soldier Field for this epic third showdown on Saturday night, and I'm a wee bit disappointed. We'll get to the bottom of it next. You are listening to the Zabecast.
We'll be right back.
Okay, Saturday night in Chicago, it's the rubber match. Bears and Packers, the OG rivalry in the NFL. And my guy, intern for life, Eric James Gitter of Club Champion in Mequon, Wisconsin, joins me now. Eric, you have always been the original DFA guy. And by DFA, I don't mean designated for assignment. I mean...
Yeah, Mike, am I getting released?
No.
What's happening here?
No, DFA is down for action or down for anything. You were the guy that started Zabe Vegas with me by coming out to Vegas, me and you only, sharing a room, no homo, at the Mandalay Bay, and then you proceeding to go 0-13, but we're not going to talk about that. We played golf, we gambled, we drank. It was great. It was the very first Zabe Vegas, just two people, you and me. You have always been, for me, Garrick, Mr. DFA, and I put it out there on the text thread, who's going to Chicago Saturday night? And it was... absolute fucking crickets. Boo, fake Packer fans. Boo. What's wrong with you guys?
I mean, it would be cool to go, but like, does anybody realistically think they're going to beat the Bears Saturday night?
Oh,
no.
So that's the angle. It's you don't think the team is worthy of traveling, spending money, buying the tickets, enduring the shithead abuse from the Bear fans. Well, right?
If I don't have a reason to go to that godforsaken state, I'm all for it. So
I hear you. Chicago and Illinois are twin shitholes, mired in utter socialist, spiraling, violent shititude. But it's the Packers and the Bears. This is the only second time they played in the postseason, correct? The other one was when they played the NFC Championship game
in, what was that? When
10.
They,
2010.
Yeah, 10. Yep.
So this is the second time, right?
I believe that is right.
I'll look that up. Are you using your phone today for our broadcast?
No, I got a computer in front of me. No, I'm good. I got it.
All right, you look it up as I talk here, and you look it up as I'm about to call our guy, Wolfie, who is, I thought Wolfie was an even more DFA guy
than me.
That right. He goes to things. He's younger. He's more active. Wolfie! True.
Hey, how we doing?
What is up, you son of a bitch? Say hi to Gitter.
Hey, Gitter.
Hi, buddy. How are you?
All right. We're here.
Yeah, you know, we're here. So I put it out on the text string, who's going to Chicago, and not only did I get no firm hell yes, nobody even flinched. Not even you, Wolfie. What the hell?
Well, a Saturday night game is pretty awful, timing-wise.
Accurate.
So, what do you mean? It's great. You sleep in Sunday. It's perfect. Better than Sunday night, way better than Monday night.
Work-wise is where that was at. Work. But I thought we were going to be the Monday night game.
And would you have gone if it was Monday night?
I'd be closer to going, yeah.
Yeah, you're not closer to going. You are so not going to this game. Let's just admit that. I need to find out why from you, Brian Wolf, why it is you're so down on this current Packer team.
Because they're so inconsistent. Their passing game is non-existent. They built the team to throw the ball, and then they don't throw the ball.
Well, if we only had a good quarterback. Wait, we supposedly do, according to SpotRack and the contract we gave old number 10. The guy that you once had a hat that said Jordan Love would make that throw 2 years prior to him even throwing a pass. That's how fully in on Love you were. And now with this chance for him to come back, wreak revenge from the cheap shot from Austin Booker and the Bears, and to eviscerate their hearts and to have me, you, and Gitter stride through Memorial Park. Triumphant. Was that, what's the name of the park that they have to walk through to get to your cars? The stupid park outside Soldier Field.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's inconvenient as fuck, by the way.
Nowhere to park near there. It's brutal.
Correct.
Wolfie, you're turning that chance down. You're not even making a move to try to make it work. You're not even trying to get somebody to cover for you at the restaurants on Saturday night. You're not even going to StubHub to just a cursory look at some of the worst nosebleed tickets we could get. Nothing from you.
Well, I mean, you are we going to pay full price and then leave early? Is that
no? Ale is off for the playoffs.
Ale is a Saturday night too, right?
There's triple ale off conditions. One is it's the playoffs. Two, it's Saturday night, so we can sleep in. And three is I'm unemployed. So yes, triple ale off situation.
The name of the park is now Gold Star Family Park.
Okay, in honor of Gold Star families that served their children lost in the. In combat. Okay, so that's a worthy cause.
Gold Star Families Park and Memorial. Yes,
I can't believe those fucking commies in Chicago allowed that to happen, but good for them. Okay, so, all right, so you're not going. Getter, you're not going. You got to do stuff. You've got the kids or something. What's your deal for Saturday night?
Don't really have a deal.
Okay,
so.
I'm the guy that would have
are
the
you
most.
Really gonna, no, wait, I want to know, are you really coming for this game?
Well, not now. Nobody. There's nobody that wants to go. My two most
Workus
DFA
wanted
guys.
To go, I thought.
No, so. Workus was like, thumbs up. And I go, okay, I'm counting you as in. And he quickly made sure on the text string to go, no, I can't go. By the way, he's a Lion fan anyway, so he doesn't want any part of this.
Yeah.
Okay,
that'd
so.
Double loss for him.
So I don't want to be, I mean, you guys are younger than me. Getter, you just turned 50.
Correct.
And Wolfie, you are a child of 34?
39,
okay. But with cherubic qualities and a cherubic face and a young man's heart.
It's like 24, realistically.
You do know in your lifetime, this may not happen again. Bears, Packers, playoffs. You know that, right?
And this is the third time I looked it up. The 2010 NFC Championship game. And, of course, you all remember the 1941 Western Division Championship game.
Yes!
Where the Bears defeated the Packers 33-14 to win the Western Division Championship.
I take that back. Not my favorite.
So Gitter did look up for me because I said I saw the stat. This is the first time ever, Wolfie, that an entire division in the NFL has finished 500 or better. And the last time The last time was 1935. And I said, holy shit, what was the 1935 divisional situation in the NFL? Gitter,
the Akron Pros.
I was going to say, care to tell them? Who were the divisions back then?
I got to pull it up.
I got it right here. In the NFL,
I have it now too, yep.
NFL Eastern Division, Wolfie, the New York Giants, the Brooklyn Dodgers, the Pittsburgh Pirates, the Philadelphia Eagles, and the Boston Redskins. Yes, that's where the Redskins came from, Boston. In the NFL Western Division, they only had four teams, not five. It was the Lions.
I see five. Did the picture cut off that I sent you?
It cut off. The Lions, the Packers, the Chicago Bears, the Chicago Cardinals. So Chicago had two teams, and the fifth team in that division that year was?
I'm showing the St. Louis Gunners.
The Gunners. I find it rather impressive that Minnesota ended up with 9 wins. With the quarterbacks that they used, they finished better than I would have thought. Because I looked at them ever since McCarthy showed his whole ass as being a Johnny Tryhard who's way out over his skis, and they clearly don't like or trust him. You could hear it today in McCarthy's press conference up there. McCarthy? Yeah, Kevin McCarthy. Yeah. Not Kevin Stefanski. I get all the Kevins mixed up.
Stefanski got cut.
He got fired today.
He gone.
But McCarthy said, oh, well, you know, they asked, are you confident with him being your guy next year? And he danced around it. But with J.J. McCarthy, Johnny Tryhard, 9, as he's called, Max Brosmer, who played
at Minnesota. The coach of the Vikings is Kevin O'Connell.
O'Connell, Stefanski, McDonald, blah, blah, blah. All the Kevins.
Exactly.
All the guys. And then Carson Wentz, who they literally totaled as a car and then sold at auction. They finished with 9 wins, Wolfie.
Make sure you get the Carfax on Carson Wentz.
The Vikings finished with 9 wins. I'm stunned.
Yeah, you don't need a quarterback, apparently.
Well, certainly the guy who's suing the league did a great job on defense and probably should be a coach again, but he should have rethought that lawsuit when he got fired down there in Florida, Brian Flores. But anyway, I digress. So, you're not going. Getter's not going. You don't believe the Packers are favored. Do you think they can win, boys?
That's wild.
Do you think they can win?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, they can win. They have to come out and just play a above average game.
Okay. Getter?
Yeah, I mean the Bears defense has been atrocious. Like, they've given up 1,200 yards in their last two games. So, yeah, can they win? It's going to be come down to what if the Packers can stop. This could be like the Bears 49ers from a couple weeks ago, that Sunday night game where it was like 42-38. I could definitely see a game like that.
They do create turnovers defensively, but you can move the ball on them. And look, the Packers had that game in their pocket, even without Love for most of the game, and they just let themselves get pickpocketed at the end. It was so stupid. So yeah,
someone jinxed it.
Yeah, well, we're not going to bring that up. Getter, see, I'd already forgotten about the fact that you jinxed it. The whole LaFleur thing is interesting as well, because the seat was getting warm. He comes into this on a four-game skid. If they lose this game, he will have exited with five losses in a row to end the year. Five out, clear the line. And he's due for an extension because he's going into his final lame duck year. The seat was warm. There was speculation and chatter. And then the new boss, Ed Policy, old Easy Ed Policy, in his annual newsletter, which I don't subscribe to, expressed confidence and support and that he felt it was a good season for the Green Bay Packers Incorporated.
I don't know how you can think that.
Well, he either thinks it or he wrote it kind of thinking it, but felt like the newsletter wasn't the forum to churn the waters, to chum the waters with blood for Matt LaFleur, right?
Yeah, that's fair. I just don't agree.
Oh, I think LaFleur absolutely should be considered to be on the hot seat. I think the way LaFleur is, and I don't know exactly, nobody knows fully what he is. He's either a really good coach that consistently has winning seasons, or he is a coach that has rode an Hall of Fame and MVP quarterback, followed by another really good quarterback, and he has turned Super Bowl potential seasons into one and outs because he's downgrading every year. And we don't know what's truly correct. It's impossible to know. That's sports in a nutshell. My gut is he's turning more Super Bowl seasons into wild cards and one and outs. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I mean, look at some of the losses they had this year. The Panthers and the Bengals. I'm sorry, the Brown. I mean, just some of the losses that they had this year were just atrocious.
And the tie we hated against the Cowboys, which should have been a win.
Came back to help
thankfully
us.
The tie was half a win. Do you think, Wolfie, he's a guy who's turning Super Bowl potential seasons into just wild cards?
At this point, you have to. He hasn't done anything. We can't hardly get to the NFC Championship game, much less, you know, perform when we get there. The level of inconsistency that we're seeing from every single game, the offense shouldn't be a problem. Everybody's been in the offense now, except for Matthew Golden, who's still not in it. He just runs around like a puppy. And and Banks was his first year here, so that project went horribly. But everybody else has been in this offense for multiple seasons, and they looked lost.
I cannot take the Packer injury excuse brigade on social media. Oh, there's so many injuries. Care to remind people how many guys were on the injured list when the Packers with Rodgers ran their way all the way to the confetti in Dallas?
There was a lot.
15.
Yeah, I was going to say it was in the teens.
Running back James Starks was a who? The playoffs exactly. Began, and he was an absolute horse that they rode. And your point, yeah. Wolfie, is the two most impactful injuries, I would argue, have been on defense.
Yes.
In Wyatt and Parsons. Yes, it hurts not to have Tucker Kraft, but that's why you fucking drafted Musgrave, okay? Deal with it. And Elton Jenkins has been good, although he had kind of fallen off quite a bit, so there's that. There's no reason they shouldn't be winning games by 35-20 if needed, like the Rams. They are offensively right. Not dynamic. And that's on LaFleur's pretty haired head. Boom. Mic drop.
Yeah, I mean, you're not wrong. I mean, they should be scheming to... I mean, that Ravens game was, what are we doing?
You were there. Getter, how was it? How was it there with your boy? Cold?
The temperature was, I mean, for a December, end of December game at like Lambeau.
40, right?
Yeah, it was great. So definitely ailed, but yeah, it was, I mean, they should have beaten the Ravens.
So did they.
Let's be honest.
So the Golden thing is also pretty flummoxing to fans that he finished with just absolute dog shit numbers. And I got into this on Twitter with a number of people who were like, but he was hurt and he missed games. So it's not fair to just list his end of year production versus Dobbs, versus Watson, versus Dontavion Wicks, versus Jaden Reed as well. All four of those guys drafted behind Golden Spot Wolfie produced way more as a rookie. Something's amiss.
Well, here's the problem I have with it is when they do throw him the ball, yesterday aside, right? That was Clayton Tune, different thing. When Jordan Love and Malik Willis have thrown Matthew Golden the ball, he's made some really nice catches and been pretty open at the same time. Like, if you see what the makings could be, and then they just don't go back to him.
He was wide open in the early part of the season, and people were looking at the all-22s going, holy shit, dude.
Yeah, we got a Mercedes out there now. He's just going to be wide open all the time.
And what was the vibe? What was the chatter? Oh, don't worry. Once Love gets used to seeing him in the progressions, it's going to start to pick up. It never picked up. And now you've got late in the season, Bo fucking Melton, bless his heart. I don't know how to take it out on him. A converted half DB, half wide receiver getting meaningful targets instead of your first round wide receiver. What in the living hey who are we doing?
I don't know. That was where, when Watson went down in Denver, I thought this might be an opportunity for Golden to step up. And then Watson ended up not missing any more time, which is great. Love having Watson, great player. Have to figure out, you know, that you're going to have to sign him to an extension. But the fact that it never materialized for Golden just makes no sense.
Yeah.
Unless they're saving it for this wonderful playoff party that we're all going to have.
So if they lose to the Bears, they're out. Five in a row. Now you've got to really think hard. If you're Ed Policy, oh boy, you better find that intestinal fortitude to write that new contract for LaFleur. Fan base is not going to be happy about it. Bear fans get her. Oh, the chirping.
Oh, yeah. They
is going to be off the charts. You saw how they were after winning one game. It was cheese grater foam hats far and wide.
I saw it today from one of the golf companies based in Chicago that sent out cheese grater head covers today. I'm like, what are we doing
here? They're so into it, aren't they? Oh. Like, this is such a big deal. We beat a team in our division once.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's make head covers.
We're one out of two against them, and we really should be 0-2 against them this year.
Of the different hats, I prefer the Philadelphia cream cheese one myself. I just think that's funnier.
It's a little bit more next level, isn't it?
Just my own personal preference.
Yeah,
I agree.
Well,
yeah, Golden has had 12 targets, I think I counted, in December and January. 12.
That's ridiculous. Yeah. I don't want to hear he still doesn't know how to run the routes right.
12 targets in five games.
Then coach him up, and maybe he'll come around. Of course, the guy that's most happy about the guy that's most happy about the Golden discussion has to be Rashawn Gary. Have you seen the absolute desert, the Mojave Desert of production from one Rashawn Gary lately?
Well, yeah, well, Matthew Golden wears
Lucas Van Ness too.
I know, but Rashawn Gary got paid, Getter, $24 million. And I believe somebody pulled up his stats over the last 24 games, and they are barren statistics. Bad.
Oh, well, I have it up right now.
You have it right now? Go ahead. What is it?
Tackles. Zero against Baltimore. Zero against Chicago. three against Denver. Two against Chicago, one against Detroit.
Give me his season stats for this year And then can go back game by game. It's extending well past the year. Wolfie, what the hell is it with Rashawn Gary? He got owned by a wide receiver on a big on the last Derrick Henry touchdown against Baltimore, a wideout handled him one-on-one on the fucking edge.
There's refs that are in quicker pursuit than Rashawn Gary.
It's not good.
For the year, 25 solo tackles, 20 assisted tackles.
How many sacks?
Sacks shows 7.5. Is that possible?
That sounds.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I guess that's right. Yeah.
Early in the year.
Early in the
year. Before he got winded.
Or, you know, after the season's over, they're going to say what? He was hurt, right?
They were all pre-Pittsburgh game was his last sack.
Since then,
wow,
nothing.
Zeros.
Wow.
Zeros the rest of the way.
Matthew Golden.
I am more worried about losing this game than I am excited about winning it. Does that make any sense?
No, that makes perfect sense.
Winning it seems like what we should do.
Right. And it feeds you into the maw of the Seahawks, who have the highest point differential of any team in the playoffs by a wide margin. They are an absolute scoring machine. So it'll probably end in Seattle the following week. But can I get a promise, Gitter, especially you and I? We have a good friend, Bob Miller, who's a big Seahawk fan. We have to go up to Seattle if the Packers win. Can you commit to that? You guys are bailing on me on Chicago. That's the easier of the two trips. Seattle, let's go.
Well, I'll be heading west that weekend already anyway, so we'll have to
see. I'd rather go to Seattle than Chicago.
So you're in. So Wolfie is in. Now, the last time I went and made plans well ahead of results, it was to go to the playoff game at Lambeau that I was sure the Packers would have with my guy Jason Ottom. And how did that work out? Not good. So I should probably shut my hole.
You're the jinx.
I probably am kind of the jinx. I am announcing my plans, which is a good way to hear God laugh.
Exactly.
All right, Wolfie, I still love you, even though I'm a little bit disappointed at how down you are about your beloved Packers. You know what fixes that? One good win to humiliate Ben Johnson, and we're back.
I don't want to be in Chicago if the Packers win.
Why?
I just feel like that's a powder keg.
Right. That you'd have to be on a head on a swivel.
Yeah. If we went there and the Packers lost, it'd be, you know, some ribbing and some things. That'd be fine. If we go there and the Packers win, it might not be great.
All right. Well, looks like it's old Uncle Al way past his bedtime getter on Amazon Prime.
Can't wait.
Packers!
Can't wait. Fucking and Kirk Herbstreit is turning into Troy Aikman before our eyes, by the way. Good job. Great job. I mean, it is. Every time I hear Herbstreit in the game, it's all I hear is jobs.
Kirk Turdstreet is just the most diarrhea-mouthed, look how smart I am, pretty boy. I have no use for him. The guy should not be moonlighting doing NFL playoff games. He's a college guy. That's what he knows. And he's overexposed. But I don't have time to get into it. Boys, thank you for joining me. And go Pack, go.
Thanks.
Go Pack.
Woo!
We might be in the final quarter of the football season, but that doesn't mean winning season is over. Oh, no. With MyBookie and its cash-out system, you are in control of how you bet and how you win for the rest of the season. Season win totals, parlays, points totals. If you're on the right side, you can get out while the getting is good. Cash out. Use the funds on other bets. Or just let it ride for the chance at a bigger payday. Any way you slice it, you are in control. To get started, go to mybookie.ag now. That's mybookie.ag. Register for an account for free. When you're ready, make your first deposit. And remember to use promo code ZABE. That's Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo. And grab a welcome bonus on the house. That's promo code ZABE to claim your deposit bonus. The season is running out, but winning season has just begun. done. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere at mybookie.ag. What you gonna do? Hey, you, what you gonna do? 49ers, what you gonna do? Ravens, tell me what you gonna do? Jets, what you gonna do? Steelers, what you gonna do? Cowboys, what you gonna do? When the Giants come for you? Falcons, what you gonna do? Browns, what you gonna do? Carolina, what you gonna do? Them Giants coming for you. Yo, them Jenkins Giants, here they come. It is so damn catchy. Good to have my guy Spence back on the pod. Here we go. Playoffs are here, and the Buffalo Bills and Josh Allen are coming to town. How you doing, Jaguar boy?
Man, it is fun. I got to tell you, it's fun. It's
good as it gets,
the
whole right?
City, the community, everything about it. It's just
13 win season. Almost a year ago, I was there with Wolfie and Vinny. And we saw the Packers beat your Jaguars with Mac Jones at the helm and Doug Peterson limping home in his season. What did you guys finish last year?
The opposite of this year, 4-13.
4-13. And, you know, you did take the Malik Willis-led Packers because Jordan Love left the game with an injury to overtime but lost. And I wouldn't say that there was despair amongst you guys. But people were not really super jacked about the state of things, other than having Trevor, right?
I think you could describe it as we had kind of accepted our fate.
You'd accepted the fact that this season going south. But you all along said, save Trevor. Save Trevor.
Yes.
Save Trevor. He just
finished. He has the tools. I mean, you see it now. The tools, the arm, the legs. I mean, absolute cannon for an arm. He's a natural leader. He just needed someone to kind of unlock a few things. And, you know, there's a really good quote from a couple of weeks ago, Dewey Wingert, who's been a great, he's kind of just a run of the mill safety. He's really embraced Duval. He's been through the Urban Meyer stuff. Like, he's been through it all. And he said the other day in the locker room, I want to say probably 2 weeks ago, that this is the first time that Trevor's been coached hard.
Oh, really? Yeah. I remember early on, he was missing guys, and I remember Liam went up to him and got right in his face and was like, you know, poking him in the chest, like, hit him here.
Yeah.
And that's what you mean by the hard coaching. This is the first time that they've really dug in on a guy like that with that much talent, and it's come out now.
Oh, so much talent. It's fun to watch. And, you know, I played quarterback in high school. It was a really good high school, and it was high-level high school in Oklahoma. And I watch quarterbacks, even when the backups come in, and I see them spin it. And these people are so talented to just get to the NFL.
Yeah.
And then when you see someone stand out this much,
right?
It's just amazing for me to watch. I mean, I probably see it different after many Saturday mornings of getting yelled at for being an idiot, watching films of how I played, you know, getting to sit there and watch and where our seats are kind of in the end zone corner. And I get to see everything. I just watching NFL quarterbacks. Obviously, I love Trevor, but man, there's so many quarterbacks that come to town. I'm like, dang.
Yeah. So there is also a moment after the game. I want to get into this, and it's widely seen now. It's been talked about by a lot of people, but I didn't have time last night to get to it. And that was, this meme had become a thing around the NFL, which is Trevor Lawrence wearing grills and a big old chain. Because it is so not who he actually is, right?
So the local term for that is what's called Steezy Trev, S-T-E-E-Z-Y. So Steezy Trev. For the last couple of years, people talk about Steezy Trev and then Trevor, but go ahead.
All right, so Steezy Trev was the sort of, you know, the embracing the culture Trev, which, you know, he just is not how he rolls. He's a very simple, very humble, very God, you know, loving quarterback. It's not who he is. But, you know, a football team has all different types of players from all different types of backgrounds. And so what happened was they wanted to show that he was as welcomed in their tribe as they are in his. And they decided to gift him a set of grills, which I have so many questions about, which we can get to here. But this was, who was this for the Jets? Who was 22?
Jarian Jones.
Jarian Jones, who your son knows. Jarian Jones.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
And here he was telling Trevor, hey, we got something for you.
I got something to say, you know, Trevor, because it's fun. We appreciate you so much for everything you do. I just want you to know all of Jacksonville behind you. We know it's a meme that's kind of going viral, so we got your own video. Yeah!
Look at Anton looking over his shoulder.
Puts him in the top and the bottom. I mean, that right there, as I told a friend, I said, that is ultimate sports man love. That's how men, that's how we love each other, is we say, here, let's do this. The smiles and the joy and the excitement cannot be faked. And I love it about a football team, Spence. It bridges cultures because these guys are not from the same worlds, but they're in the same foxhole now trying to win fucking games.
Did you see what I love about that clip? Obviously, Jarian, who we know as a family, and he's come from a different background. You know, he's from West Florida. He tells stories about, you know, not being able to afford to go certain, you know, football camps in the summer and shoes and stuff. And this is a really humble kid. But my favorite part of that video is Anton Harrison standing over Trevor's shoulder, kind of going, and the look on Anton's face is like, oh, this is awesome.
He's, so like, the, he's like, I can't believe it. He's actually going to. Yeah. Is that it right there?
That's so great.
That is great.
So the story on this, they fit perfect. So the story now is that Marissa, Trevor's wife, so Jarian, I guess, contacted her, and she got the dental records or like from apparatus that he's worn before, and they got the perfect mold for these.
Right.
I look at Trevor even do the little pinky thing. Like, he leaned into it, right? And but I think the reason it's so funny is because it's not him, and it will never be him, but he's like you said, the culture, like he knows that the team enjoys that thing. So he plays into it because it, as you saw, it just brings so much joy. But man, locker rooms, when they're right, when they're fun.
Yeah, exactly. And of course, it requires winning for locker rooms to get this way. You can't just kumbaya your way together as a locker room when you're getting your face kicked in week after week. So you win, you come together, and this is the kind of the beautiful byproduct. Yes, here's the graphic. I think somehow my wife might have been involved in that, getting my teeth measurements or something because it fit. Yes, that's another question I have about this. So were they real diamonds? No,
they were. They're not Cuba zirconia. It's the other type of
fake diamond.
Okay, yeah.
But still not. I mean, not inexpensive, cheap. Right?
No, they're not $20 at the Dollar Tree. No.
And you can wear those during the game. I know that because Lamar Jackson from South Florida. You could see last night he was wearing his.
And Jetta wears them in the game.
Oh, really? Okay. Yeah. All right. Yep. So there you go. Also in the game, Cam Little hit a 67-yard field goal, which is just his second 65-plus yarder on the year. And I want to say he also hit a 70-yarder in preseason, right?
In Miami, sea level.
A sea-level 70-yarder. Here is what it looked like.
Cam Little, 67 yards! Oh!
All right, so first of all, it's a late-breaking hook shot, which I don't know if he planned on that or not, either
trap
way.
Draw. Sometimes you can hit that trap draw, you know?
Right. And it not only made it from 67, but it actually caught the lower curtain of the net in the back. So it even had some room after that. And then after he hits it, look at him here. He is holding off his teammates from mobbing him. He's like, hold on, hold on. It's like, I got this. Points to the ground. He says, all right, hold on. And now, what is this dance?
The era of the big leg kicker continues.
So, he's a huge Cristiano Ronaldo fan.
Oh, okay.
So part of that celebration is one of Ronaldo's things of everybody settle down. I've been here before. That's kind of that. Yeah. Okay. Like, this is what I do. This is who I am. Everybody settle down. I've been here before. That's what that is.
That is fantastic. He was drafted by the Jaguars out of?
Arkansas.
In what round?
Oh, crap.
I can look it up, but it wasn't.
Look it up.
I mean,
wasn't high. Wasn't high round.
Well, once upon a time, drafting a kicker anywhere was considered to be folly. To spend a single draft pick, no matter where. I remember when Janikowski was used, or taken with a second round pick by the Raiders, and people thought the Raiders had lost their mind. But the word was, oh, you know, Seabass, he's got a huge leg. Well, he had a huge leg back then. His leg from then does not translate to the modern kicker's legs. And I'd like to know from you, Spence, as a man of golf as well and technology, since you are Mr. The Data Cage, the Bat Doctor, now working for 44 Pro Glove Company, do you think the K-balls are juiced this year?
Well, someone who was in charge of footballs at Jaguars games for the NFL for a couple of years, they're definitely different. Worn in.
You were in charge of
they're
them?
They're an NFL ball, but they get to spend all week with it. It's a different bag.
You were in charge of them?
Yeah, so on game day, I've got some photos that I'll send you a photo. So on game days, the person, or at least for the Jaguars, that's in charge of the NFL locker room for the referees, also that's where the balls are stored, and those balls are your job to keep secure. So in the 2017 playoff game, when the Buffalo Bills came to Jacksonville, I was working that game because the guy couldn't do it. And so I was in charge of the footballs, and this was right around the Tom Brady thing. And everybody talking about all the high security. Dude, they didn't know where the balls were. They were going in the wrong rooms.
Okay,
Time out.
You were the ball monkey for the playoff game the last time the Bills were in town in January.
Yes. I've got a great photo of me all alone in the rock with the footballs. Yes.
So
I took a selfie.
You are the guy in charge of, hey, nobody come in here and start monkeying with the inflation levels of these. So you think they're different now? Do you know they're different? Have you seen the differences?
No, it's the same ball. It's just they get all week with them.
All right, so how much do you think that matters? Like, you're the perfect guy, by the way, because there's so many analogies between golf and kicking and, you know, the way you strike and technique and everything else. You also know that in golf, some of the smallest dudes like Justin Thomas can hit it as far as anybody because of speed, angles, and everything, and all leverage and flexibility and whatnot. So little guys, and I think Cam Little is a fairly smallish, lean guy.
He's tall but very lean. His nickname is Kickin' Little instead of Chicken Little.
Okay.
It fits perfectly.
Yeah. So you know how it's not, you don't have to be big or beefy to womp it a far way, but you also know because you're in
speed
the leather
business.
You're also in the leather business. I say that unironically and with no dirty thoughts in mind because you work for 44 Pro, the baseball glove company. They're saying that the K-balls being given to the equipment staffs ahead of time instead of on game day has allowed them to break them in a way that is more palatable to kickers and allows them to kick it further. Do you buy it?
More palatable to that kicker.
Oh.
So these kickers use TrackMan in practice. There's a TrackMan
set up
on the ground.
For those that don't know, TrackMan is the $25,000 radar unit that is used by golfers and golf club fitters to get specific data about ball flight, spin, exit velocity, all these
advanced
things.
When you watch TV, TrackMan data. Right.
TrackMan data. Okay, go ahead.
So what you're able to do is just track that the way that kicker kicks the ball. They can then, if they know that ball is aired at a certain PSI, has a certain softness or whatever kind of break in, they're able to track ball speed, launch angle, everything like you would do to a driver. So for that kicker, the way he approaches and kicks the ball, they can then custom their K-balls to that kicker.
Really?
Yeah. How would they do that? Would they rub down the belly more than the poles? Would they do a more, you know?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I would say it. I know the equipment guys well. I haven't spoken to the new guy in about a year, but you know, from the shaving cream to the buffing to all the stuff you put on the footballs to wear them in, I'm sure they have some that have done a certain way and another way and another way. And he kicks them all. He has found whatever method they use to break him in perfect for him.
Well, also, and this is something that I think you can appreciate, is that the state of the art for athletes continues to improve. So the state of the art, meaning how to kick a ball, where to kick a ball, flexibility, strength, speed training, etc., keeps getting better and better. And there are kids who played soccer growing up who also liked football, but they knew they weren't big enough or mean enough to actually play the tackling part of football, that want to be part of a team, and they dedicate themselves when they're like 13 years old to saying, I'm going to kick in the NFL. And they go to camps, and they get instruction. So they're improving their state of the art. There's more intentional kickers now than there used to be because there's money in it for those who are good.
And I would think, people talk about, you know, there's been, you know, it's almost like when they line up for a 55-yarder or 60-yarder, it's like, well, if he hits it straight, it's going in. Like, power isn't really an issue anymore, even from 50-plus, when it used to be. I don't think that's as much leg speed or strength as much as the, like I mentioned about TrackMan, as the ability to measure what your foot is doing and what the ball is doing. And so it's kind of like my foot can be going the same speed as someone that only made it from 45 yards. I may make it from 55 yards because I've measured the angle in which my foot hits the
ball,
where it hits the ball, all those things. And so because we're able to diagnose the ball flight characteristics, I bet you, you know, spin rates have drops dramatically from on distance footballs, than it does from short.
That's fascinating. Yeah. So the end over end rate of a kick is being optimized. In other words, it's all being optimized.
And that's why it drew line. Also lower spin, a little more tilt, and it really drew that. But it's funny about that kick that you show, you talk about started right. I was sitting in the end zone behind him. So in the and I saw that sucker start right at the line, like, oh, he pushed it. And then that thing starts drawing. I'm like, oh boy.
Right.
It was awesome.
So
awesome.
Here's a video I'm showing from YouTube of a NFL equipment guy who is prepping up a football, and he's got it on this
shaving cream.
He's got it on this giant sort of buffing wheel, and then he's got the shaving cream that goes on it there. Yep. Then they're going to put, look at those other balls have mud on them. So it makes, it turns them pretty much from a golden red to a dead brown. And then back to this buffing wheel, and they get it all broken in. But they still have to meet spec. There are still referees inspecting the PSIs on the kicking balls on game day.
Yeah, right? And to this video, to the point I was making earlier, he probably did balls where he only ran it through the buffer once, and then he tried balls running it through twice or
and
four times.
And went to go test them in practice on the TrackMan?
Yeah. And then they found whatever fits his angle of attack, the way he impacts the ball, whatever was most optimal is what works for him.
Right. But when the chips are down, when the game is on the line, just like making that big putt, Spence, in golf, it's in here and it's in here. And that poor kid, Tyler Loop, for the Ravens, did not meet the moment, did he? Classic yip stroke, a leave the face open, push it out right. Oh shit! I was scared to finish.
Maybe it's my age, Zabe.
Do you feel sad? Sad for him? Bad for him? I do.
I do. And also, it's like I want to just know: did he choke? I want to know more before I say, "Oh, he's an idiot for missing." Like,
I'm not saying he's an idiot. Involved. I'm just saying the moment. And what's crazy is that Tirico kind of mushed him. Tirico's so good. He had the great narrative saying, you know, after they let Justin Tucker go, they went around the country and they were asking kickers in college, and they really believe that this young man has what it takes for moments like this. And it was a wonderful prologue delivered perfectly by Tirico under the assumption he was going to make it. Because honestly, a 45-yarder for pros these days, even rookies, is not a big deal. And he had plenty of leg for it. It kills me the number of people on Twitter saying, I can't believe they didn't try to get it closer. I'm like, dummies, the closer didn't matter. He missed it Vander jacked right. It was right going further right. It doesn't matter if he was closer. He didn't hit it right. Because he choked. It happened.
Yeah. The moment's bigger than you. Sometimes the moment's bigger than you are, and it was.
Yeah. So anyway, Spence, you are absolutely one of my best friends. I'm very happy for your Jaguars. I have another very good friend I used to work with in Milwaukee. Her name is Shanna Quinn, and she used to be in Buffalo. She loves and lives and breathes all things Buffalo Bills. And I'm pulling for her as well. And so this is going to be a tough watch for me because I have such conflicting rooting interests here. And you mentioned the last time the Jags were down there, that was a 10-3 Jags win in the wild card round in a game in which I think there was like 90-mile-an-hour winds that day and nobody could do shit.
Yeah, it was pretty chilly. Like out in the picture, you'll see it was 40s and blowing.
Jacksonville chilly.
Jacksonville chilly. Yeah, it was pretty chilly.
Was it as chilly as when I visited you on the way to Miami and stopped to play TPC Sawgrass and played up at Amelia Island and I was so damn cold because it was blowing and it was 39 degrees?
What I'll tell you, Zabe, that was 20 years ago, whatever. And I'm telling you, I still feel how cold that was.
I want to say
so flipping cold.
I could look it up for the last time the Super Bowl. I think it was 2009. It was 16 years ago. It's a long time. 17 years ago.
You know what? Do you remember binge watching the MTV Jersey Shore?
Jersey Shore. That was me, you, and your wife. We watched Jersey Shore. Snooki and company. Oh my God. It was so funny. Yeah. It was a great plan I had. Cause I'm like, hey, when I go down to Miami for the Super Bowl, I'm going to stop in Jacksonville. I can finally get TPC Sawgrass off my list. Although it was in its dormant state then, which, you know, there's a lot of deciduous trees on Sawgrass. So I didn't get to see it in its full glory. That's still on my bucket list. And so we played there, but it was cold. And then the next day was even colder and windier. But because I had committed to being there, you and me looked at each other like, fuck it, let's go play.
Yeah, Amelia Island Long Point is right on the coast. It's right there in the Atlantic coast. It's a diabolical Pete Dye, one of his first designs. Mm-hmm. Just nowhere to hit it other than the fairway. Like, no escape routes. Like, you got to hit it or you're toast. And that was windy and cold. I think we got a little bit of rain on us. Like, that was a miserable day, but a great time with my buddy Zabe.
But we did it though. And as you told me that day, you say, you know, Zabe, most of my coldest rounds ever played have come in Florida for this very reason, that people come and visit and they want to play. They had planned to play during the winter and we just catch one of those days. What are you going to do?
Well, Jacksonville, you know, it's a 5.5-6 hour drive to Miami. I can get to Charlotte, North Carolina the same amount of time. And so when you, even though it's Florida, Jacksonville is up on the border of Georgia, on the Atlantic coast. That's not where by that time, the Gulf Stream is, you know, 100 some odd miles off the coast. That's where the warm water is. So there's no warm coming in off the ocean like down South Florida. And Jacksonville can get pretty dang chilly.
Oh, yes, it can. But I just want to know, how do you feel going into this game against Buffalo?
So the Jags have won their last 7 games by an average of 19.1 points.
That's coming in on a heater.
But does that mean also they don't know how to handle close games? Are they going to panic?
Who have you played in that stretch? This will be the toughest team you've had in a while, except for Denver. I think Denver's... Yeah, I don't know about Denver, but let's put that aside.
But we went into Denver and smoked them.
Yes, you did. So the question is, how confident are you?
I'm confident. I was a little concerned because a couple of guys went down with injury, but then they came back in the game. Basically, our number one, our defense, number one defense in the league, going against the number one rushing offense in the league. But their rushing offense numbers are a little skewed because Josh Allen's scrambles are included in that. Now, you know, we see Jonathan Taylor twice a year, every year, and we shut him down all the time. Oh, big Leon.
There it is right there. Is that so bump? Yeah.
I say right now the Jags inexplicably are a one-point underdog at home. I don't understand that. It makes no sense to me. Josh Allen's never won a road playoff game. So I say Jags. I'm going to give you a prediction. It's going to be Jags 26, Bills 12.
Uh-oh. And if they lose, it was still a great season, right? Heartbreaking as season. It would be. All right. My only sadness for you, Spence, is that your stadium's getting torn up over the next 2 years and you're being moved around when you should be enjoying this glorious stretch of football in a gleaming new stadium. But it is what it is. You'll figure it out. All right, Spence, always good to talk to you, buddy. Thanks.
See you, buddy.
I will end on this nugget. For those of you who are not happy about these under 500 division winners like the Panthers getting to host a playoff game, it was once even worse. This one, an email from Bob in Fishers, Indiana. Zabe, I'm a 1%er for several years now. Thank you very much. Subscribe at zabe.com/premium. Get the Monday through Thursday Zabecast ad-free, which is glorious. And then get Fridays as well with Scott and Solly. Help support me in my unemployment, in my uncertain broadcast moment in my career. It's a mere $5 a month, and I appreciate your support. He said, I'm a 1%er for several years now. Today I learned, he said, that from 1970 to 1974, the NFL did not even use playoff seeding. Playoff sites were predetermined every year and rotated by division. The 1972 Perfect Dolphins, you know, the team that went undefeated, were not even allowed to host the AFC Championship game against the Steelers. That blows my mind. Can you believe that? Does that blow your mind? That's real. That's just happened. Some people are complaining the NFC South does not deserve to host a first-round game, yet there was a time when a team's record was irrelevant in the playoffs. Bob in Fishers, Indiana. Yes, indeed. Once upon a time, it was so much worse. That is not a reason, though, to stop trying to improve always. And I say, if you can get the format better, do it. I just don't think once every 5 years reconfiguring your basic setup, which is win your division. You win your division, you host a playoff game. It's a nice reward for the street you live on, the three other teams you've learned to love and hate. And no, let's not start talking about, we should realign. You know, look at this map. I can draw. This will be a better division here. Keep the division, divisions the way they are, and keep the playoff format the way it is. It's fine. I think it works out kind of good. Puts pressure to get the number one seed because, you know, used to be, we got to buy 1, 2. Does it really matter? Of course, if you're Nick Sirianni, 2, 3, does it really matter? Yeah, it should, dummy. Because if you get that second game at home as the 2 seed, that's pretty valuable, you would think. Anyway, I say it's fine the way it is. It's kind of good. And we've got a monster lineup of games to look forward to on Super Wildcard Weekend. Again, thanks for listening. Rate and review. It tickles the algorithmic overlords. Thanks for listening, and I will see you next time. We might be in the final quarter of the football season, but that doesn't mean winning season is over. Oh no. With MyBookie and its cash out system, you are in control of how you bet and how you win for the rest of the season. Season win totals, parlays, points totals. If you're on the right side, you can get out while the getting is good. Cash out. use the funds on other bets, or just let it ride for the chance at a bigger payday. Any way you slice it, you are in control. To get started, go to mybookie.ag now. That's mybookie.ag. Register for an account for free. When you're ready, make your first deposit. And remember to use promo code ZABE. That's Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo. And grab a welcome bonus on the house. That's promo code ZABE to claim your deposit bonus. The season is running out, but winning season has just begun. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere at mybookie.ag.